Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm very privileged to welcome a very tall technology leader from Dubai, Mr. Piyush Chauhan. Piyush, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me.
Thank you. Piyush is the group CIO of the Lulu Group International, headquartered in the UAE. In his own words, he's a digital evangelist with a passion to transform businesses using technology. He's passionate about working with startups and innovation-led companies, and is a writer and a thought leader. So Piyush, let's talk about your journey as a digital evangelist. Tell me about the scope of work you handle in such a highly diversified group.
Sure. So I think at heart, as I have always believed, I have grown my career. I've seen retail growing and changing and transforming over the last 2 decades. And I've seen changes happening with technology at its core for the last 2 decades. And as you would know, I was a young enthusiast when the dot-com bubble happened in the 2000s. Yeah. And since then, I've always had a belief that this is the moment in which retail has to transform. Mm-hmm. And I think in the next decade, what has happened is the power of retail has moved on from the retailer to the consumer. I think that happened in the first part of the decade. And what has happened in the last decade is that power has actually multiplied multifold. Now the customer is calling the shots, not the retailers. Mm. And so if you see the evolution of retail, obviously, if we go 100 years back, maybe everything was mom and pop stores all over the world. Yeah, very, very small stores all across corner of the streets. And then in the middle, people believed that, if you consolidate, there are supply chain efficiencies, there are economies of scales and stuff like that. And that is when the big box retail started coming in the last 4 decades of the last century. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like from maybe from 1960s, 70s till the 2000s. The consolidation was happening. Walmart was expanding. Worldwide so-called penetration of modern retail was happening. And suddenly this new avatar came, which is the internet. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which changed everything. Yeah, it changed visibility, it changed a lot of kind of information which was held tightly within the four walls of a retailer, because earlier discovery was the biggest problem for a consumer, right? Once internet came, it basically democratized that entire information, and because of which, for the last 2 decades, what we are seeing is the rebirth of a new retail format. It is still evolving. I don't think we have reached anywhere near what we want to see from a technology perspective, and I believe that the next 2 decades will be more interesting than the past 2 decades. Okay. And so if you were to ask me what I am up to in Lulu, I was kind of hired here about 2 years back. And my charter would be to use digital tools and transform retail as much as possible so that we are ready for the future.
Fantastic. So that's an amazing segue to my next question. And you said you are a retailer at heart first and a CIO as a follow-up to that. Tell me, how do you see technology changing retail, the supply chain, and warehousing?
Yeah, and as I was saying, what has happened, obviously, when we were, and when in the past century, when people were studying MBA, the one word that used to be featuring very often is customer centricity. Yeah, and I think it was all still lip service. Yeah, the so-called big brands, I would not name anyone, but let's say the Cokes and the Pepsis of the world always felt that they are very customer-centric because the messaging was very customer-oriented and stuff like right. that. But the entire organization was never aligned to the customer value, customer belief, mm-hmm. although there were a lot of value stream mapping exercises which would have been done by a lot of these organizations. They were not able to align the entire organization towards the consumer. And there were limitations. So for example, the back end, let's say the inbound supply chain, the warehousing, never were measured based on the customer success. Mm-hmm. And the customer metrics were more measured for, let's say, a marketing officer and the related functions, which were more closer to the consumer. what has happened and what is happening now is the true sense of customer centricity is building up now. Yeah. Okay. Which means that all the functions now, even the inbound supply chain, even the warehousing, even your store staff, everybody has to now align towards one goal, create value for the customer. And value is today measured, value is equal to experience. Value is not equal to price. Yeah, value is not equal to product, which was the kind of thing of the past. People used to sell that if I get the best assortment at the best price, I am the best retailer. Yeah, no longer the case. That product paradigm is moving towards an experience paradigm. And when that experience paradigm comes in, everybody has to align your warehousing, which means that your fulfillment function has to align towards creating an experience for the consumer. And as we know now, experience is n is equal to one. Yeah. Earlier experience was having a large format in which thousands of people come in and you create a single experience for everybody. But in today's context, because of digital, experience is n is equal to one, which means that Ashutosh comes into my shop. He likes ABC. He wants to shop in ABC way. I have to make sure that I align that towards his or her choice so that he walks out from that store amazed without any friction in his shopping journey.
And are you seeing a lot of technology changing the retail experience on the shop floor?
Technology has to, and that has to happen. So we are exploring technologies in which I think in the next 4 to 5 years, I believe that 20% of the stores worldwide will be what I call as cashierless stores. Yeah, I'm engaging with 2 or 3 startups which are already deploying. There is one startup which has deployed over 100 stores worldwide and growing at a pace which we have never seen. So technology is going to be the core, and there are three big advancements. If you ask me about what has changed in technology, there have been 3 big advancements in technology. One is your sensing technologies, which means your ability to sense movement of people, your ability to identify people and things like that have grown leaps and bounds in the last 5 to 7 years. Yeah. With the advancement of vision AI, with the advancement of automation in terms of understanding the behavior. And I think that is a huge, when I was maybe 10 years back, if I were to basically implement a video analytics solution, we would have to struggle so hard to even get the feed to the center to analyze it. Yeah. Today, it is on the click of a button. You have tools which are so easy to configure. The camera technology has evolved. The ability to understand that feed has evolved. And that is giving a new paradigm. And so as retailer, I'm seeing the customer in a very different form. Yeah. Earlier, we used to see customer when they used to do a transaction and I used to analyze the transaction log at the POS. Yeah. That was my source of understanding the consumer. If I had a loyalty program, I would say, okay, Mr. Ashutosh comes to my store. He comes roughly twice a week or twice a month. This is his shopping pattern and blah, blah, blah. But I was able to do that. And what we know is in a physical store, the average conversion, let's say in a grocery store, is about 30 to 40%. But in a let's say fashion store, the conversion is less than 10%, which means that in a fashion store, 90% of the people are coming in without doing any transaction. Correct. And you don't know anything about it. But because of technology now, I know exactly what people are coming in, what they are doing, where they are not getting engaged, why they are not getting engaged. I can actually do some more deep analysis. And hence, your understanding of the consumer behavior has gone multifold. So that piece of technology is one which is kind of creating that understanding of the consumer. The next is the automation piece. Yeah, in the stores. Yeah. So when I started in Tesco, people used to walk around, identify where the gaps are. They will scan the location and say that these are the gaps. Now we are on the verge of implementing robots in which the robot will walk through the aisle every 10 minutes and tell you where the gaps are. You don't need anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are the kind of technology innovations that we are seeing, which will change the way things are going to be performed in the future. And so the mundane task will be taken by automation. Mm-hmm. Most of the heavy lifting has to be done by, I would say, understanding the consumer behavior and creating that personalized experience where n is equal to one.
Incredible. You know, I must compliment you. you are a retailer first. I've never heard such incredible words from someone who's the leader of technology. Fantastic. So let me now move, Piyush, to asking if you, for your perspective, on what technology is doing for the supply chain for into your stores, and more importantly, supply chain to your customers. I mean, drones and all kinds of things are being talked about.
Yeah. So obviously, here again, the change has been led by the consumer. Obviously, because of COVID, digital commerce is now a reality. Mm-hmm. It was a reality pre-COVID as well, but I think the adoption was much slower. What has happened is maybe it has grown 5x, 6x post-COVID. And hence, the past retail experience or the retail supply chain was around building in scale. Yeah, you bring in large containers, you store in large containers, then you consolidate and then you distribute across. That was the model. Two things which have changed as part of COVID. One is this habit pattern of buying in bulk, storing in bulk, and having a very large assortment that has been changing. We are seeing extremely sharp focus around assortment. People are now buying much more focused products. The long tail of products is getting shortened, which means that you need to rationalize your assortment as much as possible. And so you don't need, let's say, if you are having pasta sauce as a category, mm-hmm. you don't need 200 varieties of pasta sauce anymore. Yeah, and that is what the customer is telling us, not that we are doing that. Now the customers are getting more focused, which means that you need to have very sharp, pointed value products, which are much more targeted towards a segment of the customer. And now you can do that because your fulfillment engine has to be broken down into multiple smaller fulfillment engines. Mm. It is no longer the cases in which you bring in bulk and then you kind of pass on that bulk to a large set of consumers. So the concept of, let's say, micro fulfillment centers, the concept of small fulfillment centers, which are very near to the consumer. And what it helps is, it helps in terms of kind of easing your demand curve. Mm. Yeah. If you have a very large store, you need to carry a lot of inventory, and obviously you will go wrong in a lot of products, and hence your wastage is higher, your shrinkage is higher, and stuff like that. But if you have a very focused small micro fulfillment center which carries inventory for 3 to 4 days, you are much closer to demand. You are able to turn around things much faster. And because technology is now advanced and automation is there in the micro fulfillment centers, you are able to churn things much faster. You are able to replenish much faster. Your forecasting algorithms are much more accurate, which is where the entire waste in the supply chain is reduced. So your markdowns are reduced and you are able to give better value and experience to the consumer.
Wow, incredible. And one more perspective I'd love to get is, you know, do you see in developed markets like, say, Abu Dhabi or Dubai, robots delivering food and drones delivering my weekly shopping?
We are still a little away from that. Not because of the technology maturity, but I think the chaos that it will create. Yeah. So nobody has still any internet is something which is still democratic. It is not intruding into anybody. Mm-hmm. But I think space is something which is nobody's territory. Yeah. So there are still regulations which are being evolved. And once those regulations evolve, I think drone delivery is happening in a small catchment area. And for, let's say, medicines in far-flung places and stuff like that, emergency medicine, that already is in place. But if we were to say that millions of drones start conquering the space, mm-hmm. it will be utter chaos. So there has to be some amount of regulation thought process before that becomes a reality.
Very well said. Very well said. So my next question to you is that for someone who is so passionate about digital and who's constantly scanning, I'm sure, the world and what is happening in the business, what do you see as future disruptions in technology for your space in the short term and the long term?
So I would not say disruption, but I think the adoption of, let's say, in the last 10 years, people have been talking about so-called omnichannel commerce, yeah, which nothing but creating a very seamless experience between physical and digital. Yeah, that was still a concept. But if you scan any retailer worldwide, they would say, I have an online channel and I have a physical channel. they can do some orders which drop from online to physical and then physical to online, and it is still two separate channels which are trying to merge. But it is not an experience which is unified and build omnichannel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, as people call it, there are digital native organizations and there are non-digital organizations. Yeah. Right. Similarly, there are omnichannel native retail and omnichannel non-omnichannel retail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I say omnichannel native retail, it means that your ability of the consumer to move between physical and digital is so seamless that there is no friction. Yeah, and that to me is the biggest kind of thing which will happen in the next 10 years. And I think I'm seeing that. And I'll give you a prediction which I've been talking about for quite a while now, saying that we are bored of that black and white screen in which you are seeing a product. When you go to Amazon, you see a product which is on the white background and product listed. People are getting bored of that. Yeah, and hence, your ability to create real life experience in a virtual context is something which is a reality. There are a lot of virtual stores which are coming in. So a lot of good imagery with video, as we were talking, video is going to be a big player in which video enabled buying, voice enabled buying, and all those things integrated into an omnichannel experience is something that will disrupt the space.
Wow. So Piyush, now I'm going to talk about you're being passionate about working with startups and innovation-led companies, to create digital assets. Help me understand this with an example and, of course, no names.
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, since I've been in enabling technology, leading technology, large technology transformation programs in the early part of this century, it was more working with the large biggies. No names here, but we know whom we are talking about. Yeah, they will come in, they will create a large 3-year program, 2 years program, and there will be a big team with multiple managers, multiple leads. And what has happened is, obviously, when digital came in, the way of implementing technology has also transformed. In the last 7-8 years, I've been a big proponent of Agile. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of people have adopted it, but the segment which has adopted Agile the most are the startup ecosystem. Yeah, and they are the people who can really think on the toe, implement things on at a pace that nobody in the world can actually do. Mm-hmm. And hence, in the last more than 5 years now, when I started in Walmart, I started engaging with the startups, and mm-hmm. I could see the pace of change that they can bring in. Yeah. The amount of, we have been always taught, think out of the box, bring in fresh ideas, how can we do that on the fly, and stuff like that. Yeah, these are all concepts. But when you work with startup ecosystem, you can see those things being implemented day in, day out. Yeah, they have no kind of prejudice attached. They will not work with large, heavy Gantt charts and Excel files. They will work in a very, very agile format, and they will kind of come and you ask them, saying that, look, this is not working. How can we do something different? They will not give you a $500,000 change request form to say that, sir, if you sign it, then I will do it. Yeah. So they will say, okay, no, this makes sense. Yeah. And they will be collaborative enough. So that new way of working of the startup ecosystem is something which excites me. I believe that is how large enterprises need to transform. They need to be small startup ecosystems within themselves. And I believe that is happening reverse, that if an enterprise starts working with the startup ecosystem, they will understand the new way of working. And then you start to pollinate that new way of identifying problems, identifying. So we talk about design thinking concepts, right? They are classic examples of design thinking concepts, because they will have so much less cash that they cannot afford to do a lot of things within their four walls. They have to go out to the consumer. They have to try out things. They have to understand and learn from it. They have to change things as we go along. So I think these are things which have always excited me. We have learned that as part of concepts, but I think while working with startup ecosystem, the innovation-led technology enablement is something which I am extremely thrilled about.
Fascinating. So Piyush, I'm now going to ask you my last question. And this is about you being your avatar as a writer and a thought leader. Tell me about some of your writings and what you're doing in this space.
So as I was mentioning earlier, omnichannel, I believe, has been a passion for me. I mm-hmm. always thought that although people are talking about omnichannel, it is not the real omnichannel which the consumer needs. Yeah, the consumer is looking for a really frictionless omnichannel experience. And so I'm working on a project at the moment in which we are trying to create with one of my colleagues who is a professor. So he brings in a little bit of an academic background, and both of us are trying to work on a project in which we'll try to define what omnichannel consumer experience actually means. So that is one part. I think with the day job, it is difficult to do it anything fast, but we are on the way to do that, and we hope that sometime in 2022 we should be able to complete that project. Apart from that, my thought has been to make sure that people understand from real life experiences. And when I was attending a lot of seminars and workshops in the past, what I've seen is people always try to hide stuff and then try to give only the nice to have views. I'm a very candid guy. Yeah. And that is why people like to interact with me. And so that is where I've kind of penned down a lot of my experiences. So I've led AI projects. And so if you see, there are five or six articles that I've written in which what not to do in an AI project. Yeah. How do you bring in AI into your enterprise? Right. These are problems which a lot of organizations and leaders are struggling with. And I help put in my experiences with the passion of writing a little bit and take that message across to the wider world.
Amazing. Piyush, thank you so much. It's been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for teaching me so many new things on technology. And as I mentioned during our conversation, I have never come across a CIO who speaks business first and technology later. Congratulations on this incredible achievement. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.